Good morning, church. I can see you, but I could barely hear you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Sunday worship at Midway Church of Christ. It's great to have so many in the auditorium worshiping together this morning. We are so blessed as Christians to be able to meet as the Lord's church, to worship just as the New Testament church did, according to the pattern that God provided in His Word. We're so blessed together this morning as His church. We are doing attendance cards again, so if you can look in the back of the pew in front of you, you'll find one there. Please fill out one of those during the service today, and toward the end of our services, we will pick those up. One of our young men will be picking those up. As we focus on worship, let's prepare our minds for worshiping God this morning by reading some of the Psalms of David, a few verses from the 8th Psalm and a few from the 9th Psalm, as we focus on worshiping God and on all He has done for us. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Some translations say, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And humans, that you care about us. For you have made us a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned us with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. And then in Psalms 9, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High God. What a blessing again we have to have an awesome God that we have. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we open our service this morning. O Lord, our Lord, we humbly come before you this morning, so thankful for bringing us together, so thankful for every blessing that you bestow upon us, and so thankful that we can worship you in assembly this morning. Father, thank you for being our God, for being such an awesome God, for being our creator, our provider, for being our salvation when we obey and serve you as you've directed us to in your word. Lord, bless us as we now gather to worship you. May our worship be pleasing in your sight and according to your will. And Father, bless each soul that's present here today. Bless those of our number who are not able to be with us, but who are with us online. Father, open our minds to the lesson that Russell has prepared for us this morning, and as we learn about all the things that Jesus has given up for each of us. And Father, as we prepare to worship, please open our hearts to praise you in song, to remember Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us as we gather around the Lord's table. And Father, draw us close to each other and close to Jesus and close to you as we worship together this morning. Again, Father, help us to worship according to your will, according to your word. And help us to be the kind of people that you'd have us to be. And bless us in our worship this Lord's day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'll be doing the scripture reading this morning. I'll be reading from the ESV. And the caption over this verse, the verses will be from the 15th chapter, verses 33 through 39. And the caption in the ESV over this set of verses is the death of Jesus. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who faced him saw in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this was a man of God."
Good to see everyone here. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Somebody said before services, it sounds like Midway, and then y'all started singing, and sounds like Midway. Good sound. Good to have everybody back. You may have heard before of Team Hoyt. If you've ever heard about them, you might, we hear Team Hoyt, you might think auto racing. But Team Hoyt was a father and son who did many marathons and triathlons over the years, starting back in the 90s. Through 2016, they had done over 1,100 endurance events together. What made them unique was Dick and Rick Hoyt. Dick is the father. Rick, his son, when he was born with cerebral palsy because of some complications at birth. And the doctors told them, you need to put him in an institute because he's just going to be a vegetable. And they noticed that as they moved around the room, his eyes followed them. And they said, we're going to bring him home and raise him like any child. And so they brought him home, and she began to teach him using sandpaper and things how to make letters and how to read. And then they got a computer where he was able to communicate with them. And he went to high school. He graduated from high school. He went on to college, graduated from college. And there was a lacrosse player who was in an accident that was paralyzed, and he communicated through the computer to his dad, Dad, let's do the charity 5K run for that student. You push me. And so his father began to practice by putting concrete and stuff like that in the seat of a wheelchair and began to push it down the road. And they did their first race. And the son said, when I'm running, or when you're pushing me, I don't feel like I'm handicapped. I don't feel like I have that there. And it sparked something that would become an event that people wouldn't forget when they would see them enter these marathon races. Over 72 marathons, all these Boston marathons they ran. If you start at the start of the Boston Marathon today, you'll see a bronze statue of Rick and Dick Hoyt at the beginning. And they did triathlons. He would harness himself and pull a boat where his son would be in the raft. They had a tandem bicycle set up. He would sit in the front. And then whenever they would run, he would push the wheelchair. And his son, Rick, says through the computer, you are the motor and I'm the heart. And you look at their story and their legacy. Rick passed away this past March 17th on St. Patrick's Day. And Rick is a year older than me. But it's a touching, wonderful story of a father and a son and their love and the sacrifices. And when we open our Bibles, we see a beautiful love story between God and His Son and us. And we read about all the things that God does to bring us to a right relation with Him and the sacrifices He and His Son make to enable us to have a right relationship with Him. And it's a love story that comes to the pinnacle at the cross. When Jesus goes to the cross and all the events that happen leading up to that cross, He had to suffer. He had to die alone. He had to sacrifice many things for you and I to be where we are today. Spiritually, we stand before God justified, just as if we had not sinned. We come together today with a good conscience between us and God because of what Jesus did on the cross. We sit here in hope that when Jesus comes back, we're going to spend eternity with Him in heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I've thought a lot about this over the last several weeks while we've been in Kings. Where are we going to go next? And we're going to spend a little time in a series called Cross Culture. Because at the cross, as I kept looking at this text and working on it, I kept thinking of the song, and we'll sing it next week before we take the Lord's Supper. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, I think? Die or bleed? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, was there by faith I received my sight. So it captivates us when we think about all the things that happened. And that cross culture is what is should be at the heart of every New Testament church. I don't want people to be a part of the American church culture. I want people to be a part of cross culture. Because people that are part of cross culture will be the church that Jesus wants it to be in the community that it's in. And that's what we need to be. But what does that look like? What is cross culture all about? When I was a youth minister, I used to take teenagers on mission trips, Lithuania, Dominica, Mexico, all these different places. And the reason I did that is because you want them to have a worldview of the church. You want them to have a cross-culture experience. When you open your Bibles and you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at the scenes that are taking place, they want you to experience the cross-culture. What's that all about? What is the cross-culture about? And it starts with Jesus. So this morning, we're going to look in chapter 14 and 15 and consider three sacrifices Jesus made for us. Because at the heart of the cross are the sacrifices that Jesus made for us. He sacrificed His will, He sacrificed His life, and He sacrificed His comfort. And if you're going to be a part of the Christ culture, if you want your kids to grow up, don't. I hear people say, well, I'm bringing my kids up in the church, or I was yanked up in the Church of Christ. No. You want your kids to grow up with the right relationship with Christ, and it's based on a cross culture. This is something we need to get in us, because it's what the world needs. They don't need a church where they can come and be comfortable. And we've done a lot to make this look nice. And we've done a lot of things to make people feel comfortable. But we want people to be committed to a church that embraces the cross of Jesus Christ. Because that's what Jesus calls us to. Any man who comes after me must deny himself, take up his cross daily. Today, are you picking up your cross? And what does that mean? It means to take up the will of God. It means to live your life for Him, not yourself. It means don't be comfortable. Take what God puts on your plate and do what God has called you to do. And Jesus starts it all off by showing us what that was all about. It wasn't going to be pleasant. It was going to be painful. It was going to be difficult. But Jesus did it. And that's what He calls us to. First of all, Jesus gave up His will for us. So before He's arrested, before He's taken through the six trials, three that are political and three that are religious, they were unjustified. They did everything against the book. It was a crazy situation. But before all that happened, Jesus is in the garden. He knows what's happening. He takes some of His followers and He says, "Pray for me." He was anguishing what was going to happen. His whole being knew what was going to take place. What the sacrifice, the separation, all the things that were going to happen. And He says, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will, let that be done." He sacrificed His will. He gave up His will. What was His will? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through that pain. I don't want to go through that suffering. I don't want to go through the separation. I don't want to die on the cross alone. But Father, let Your will be done. So there was His will and God's will, and He made His will God's will. That's cross culture. If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, you have to surrender your will, just like Jesus did. And Jesus left that moment committed to what was going to come, not because it's what He wanted to do, It's because of what he chose to do, because that was the will of God. We live in a time where everybody's concerned about their rights. I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. Sometimes if you're a Christian, it means you don't exert your rights. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He calls us sometimes to give up our will for his will. In fact, Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you've been here with me a long time, you could probably quote this verse, verse 15 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Christ died. Why did Christ die? To save my sin. Why did Christ die? Christ died so that you will no longer live for yourselves, but for him who died for you and is risen again. Jesus died on the cross so you will not live for your will, but for his. Jesus wants us to know that's part of the cost. You have to love your family less. Count the cost, whether you can go to war or build a building. And then he says in verse 33 of Luke chapter 14, you must give up everything to be my disciple, including your will. Jesus has to sit on the throne and he has to call the shots, right? In Europe, they got a queen that sits on the throne and a prime minister that calls the shots. When it comes to Christianity, you don't get to put Jesus on the throne, then you call the shots. He's got to sit on the throne and call the shots. Does he call the shots in your life? Or do sometimes you say, well, I'll do this on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll do this. You don't get to live that way. You must give up your will. He surrendered his will for me and for you. He surrendered his will so that I could be right with God. That's one of his sacrifices. But he also gave up his life for us. Jesus was tortured. He was taken and his back was laid open. It looked like hamburger meat. He went through severe treatment. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They hit him with sticks and said, prophesy, who hit you? They falsely accused him of things. And he dealt with all of that willingly because that was God's will. And when they took him to the cross and they nailed him to it, he didn't kick against the guards. He gave his life up willingly for you and for me. And he wants us to give up our lives willingly for him. Who are you living for? You living for yourself? You living for your spouse? You living for your job? You living for your hobby? What are you living for? You better be living for Jesus, because if you're not, you're really not a disciple of Jesus. He has to be Lord of all, or he can't be Lord at all. But he gave up everything. And I could go through and I could talk about scientific things and all. You know all these things. You know this story. Jesus suffered pain and agony so that my transgressions could be erased, so that I could be right with God. He gave up his life willingly. And when he was on the cross, which was excruciating, and it wasn't just about his back that was like hamburger meat is going up and down on that wood, it's splintering into it. They fastened him on the cross, and there was a seat that came up when he tried to breathe and came back down. That caused pain. Then we try to get relief from that. He comes up and his whole body's putting the weight on those nails, and it's excruciating. And he did that for us. And he gave up. It wasn't taken away from him. He gave up his life for us. And we're never more like God than we give. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. But Jesus went to the cross and he gave his life for you and for me. And when we take the Lord's Supper, there's a lot of things we can do and think about. But number one thing is to remember what he did on the cross. And what did he do? He gave up his life for you. What are you giving up for Jesus? Well, I don't want to give up too much. Which leads us to the third thing he offered, which was his comfort. I mean, from the get-go, Jesus is going to be uncomfortable. He comes from heaven to earth. How would you like that? Years ago, I saw a documentary on TV about this tribe over in New Guinea called the Dinkas. They had a terrible problem with flies. And they would do things to keep all that away from them. And so they would rub cow manure on their bodies. And they would preserve their food in cow urine. Twitching yet? And when I saw that on the documentary, I thought, what if God calls me to go there? What if I got to go to the Dinkas instead of the Midway Church of Christ people? I did pick y'all over then. What would that be like? Can you imagine what it was like to leave heaven and come to earth? Nasty. He did that for us, right? And all along the way, Jesus did things that were uncomfortable. And we see at the cross the pinnacle of that discomfort, because what did He do? He became a curse for us. He became sin for us. Sin separates us from God. He was separated from God. He died on the cross alone. And the most unimaginable thing is, He says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through something that is unimaginable. He was connected all of His life with God. What a relationship. We see Him in His ministry so connected to God. And now He's going to get disconnected from the very thing that was the most significant thing of all. And He did it for us. It was uncomfortable. The whole cross circumstance was uncomfortable. Jesus doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be cross-cultural Christians. He wants us, sometimes we're going to get uncomfortable. Wednesday night, the air conditioner wasn't working right, and I was up here, and it was like 78 or whatever, and I wasn't real comfortable. People were listening to me. Maybe we weren't so comfortable. But what does God call us to? Comfort? Now, we've tried to make it real comfortable this morning, but if you think Christianity is comfortable, you're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Anyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not might be, should be, could be, will be persecuted. If you really stand up for God in your life, there are going to be people who don't like what you got to say. And we live in a world right now that certainly doesn't like what we got to say. In fact, they're persecuting a lot of people because of their convictions about Christ. It's not always going to make things comfortable in your family if you're a Christian. It's not always going to make things comfortable in the workplace if you're a Christian. I mean, go back and read In His Steps, the Christian classic by Charles Sheldon, and look at all these people who make the decision, I'm going to ask myself before I do anything, what would Jesus do? And look at how uncomfortable their lives get because they're committed to cross culture. That's what He calls us to. I don't want to be a church that's comfortable. I don't want to be a church that lives by its will. I don't want to be in a church that doesn't give themselves fully to God. That's what this church has to be about, cross culture. So we're going to spend some weeks just looking, especially in the book of Acts, at Christians who at the beginning of the church became Christians, and what was it about that culture that stands out? What kind of things do they emphasize? What kind of things do they strive after? What kind of things do they accomplish? And I want us to get uncomfortable. Because that church spread the gospel throughout the world. What are we doing here in our neighborhood? Have we gotten too comfortable with what we give to God? Are you willing to give more? Jesus was asked to give it all. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Beautiful picture. God, Jesus went into darkness. Darkness went over the land so that the light of God could come into the world. The presence of God could come and things could change. The cost of following Jesus is to give up everything and follow Him. Are we giving up everything? Dee Dee and Ava kind of got into a little tradition of going to Sonic together. Ava's four-year-old granddaughter. If you don't know that, you will. But it's just too easy. Anyway, they go to Sonic and she says, "What do you want?" And she says, "I want a cherry limeade," right? So they do this several times, and Dee Dee begins to discover that she gets the cherry limeade, she eats the cherry, and she doesn't drink the rest. So she's getting her to go to Sonic all the time to get a cherry limeade. All she wants is the cherry. She don't want the rest of it. So Dee Dee goes to the store and buys a jar of cherries. Okay, no more cherry limeades at Sonic. If all you want is the cherry, that's all you're going to get. But think about it. Some people come to church, they look in Scripture, they become Christians because they want the cherry. They want not to go to hell, they want to go to heaven. They want salvation. They want the things that for themselves. But God wants you to get the whole thing. What's the whole thing? Give up your will. Give up your life. Give up your comfort. What does that mean for me? I don't know what it means for you. I'm still figuring out what it means to me. I'm slow. It's taken God some time to get me to certain places. But am I willing to give up those things for God? And when we begin to focus on the cross of Jesus Christ, we begin to see the true culture of what we're supposed to be about as God's people. And it causes us, when I look at Jesus in the garden, and I look at Jesus on the cross, when I look at what Jesus gave for me and the comfort that He gave up for me, it makes me elevate my game. How many of you like, I'm a sports guy, so I like all these Olympic trials, and I ran track in college, and I've been a runner all my life, and so I've been watching the track and field, and I like all that stuff, and sometimes, you know, I get up in the morning to go run, and I've just watched all these different Olympic athletes, you know, and so I'll be running, doing my geriatric jogging around the neighborhood, and in my mind, it's like, and McLaughlin makes the turn, and he's, yeah. And you're like, what are you, 10? No, I'm 58, but I'm young at heart. Aren't you glad? Why does that happen? Because you're weird, Russell. Okay. Because when you watch other people elevate their game, you want to elevate your game. Watch Jesus elevate His game. Why is that so important? What does Hebrews 12 say? Therefore, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, author and perfecter of your faith, so that you don't lose heart. Focus on Jesus who endured the cross. The cross is so important. It's part of our culture. Don't get away from it. Some preachers don't preach a lot about the cross because they say it's kind of out of date. It's all bloody and stuff. It is what it is. But it's the most powerful thing when we get a hold of it. Elevate your game. That's what this next series is going to be about. I'm going to push us to elevate our game based on what Jesus shows us here. Give up your will. Give up your life. Give up your comfort. Let's be a church that's truly a church, not just that does things because we've always done them. Let's elevate our game and be that church. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we don't want you to wait another minute to make that step to be some people, well, I don't feel comfortable getting and coming before the church. Just do what you're supposed to do when you need to do it. That's what Jesus calls us to. If you need to be baptized, if there's something else we can help you with as we sing. Mm-hmm.
gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?
Now time for us to partake of the communion, and Russell's lesson was about the cross, about the sacrifice that was made for us and the way that we're living or giving up our lives for him. We know that the first communion was given by Jesus himself with his disciples, and he took the bread, broke it, and he gave it out to them, and he said, "This is my body." And then he took the cup, gave it to them, and said, "This is the blood and the new covenant." And he said that, "I will not partake of this again with you until we do it anew in the kingdom of heaven." So I don't have much else to say. I think Russell covered most of that in his lesson. But I do have three prayers that I'll give. I'll give one to kind of prepare our minds and to think about this gift that was given to us. One for the bread and one for the cup. And as I'm praying, I encourage you guys to pray yourselves also and examine your lives and think about this gift that was given to us. Let's pray. Dear God, you've given us such a gift. It's more precious than anything in this world. You gave us Jesus, and even though
We know each of us are sinners. We have hope. We pray that we approach this communion knowing that he gave up his life for us, and we did nothing. But we know it's something that you set in place to give us hope of eternal life with you in heaven. We pray that each of us takes this time to examine ourselves. We look deeply at how we're living our lives, and we'll never forget the sacrifice and the wonderful gift that we have through Jesus' death. Let us not selfishly keep this to ourselves, but let us share this with others, and let us continue to proclaim his death each week until he comes again. Now I have a prayer for the bread. Dear God, as we take this bread, we think of Jesus. We think of him praying to you as he moved forward with the crucifixion. We think of the people that betrayed him and denied him. We think of the death that he endured for us. We're so thankful for this incredible Savior and know that through him and through his death, we have eternal life with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll pray for the cup. Father, as we partake of this cup, we think of the night that Jesus shared this cup with his disciples. We think of his death and the blood that was shed. This blood cleanses us. The blood of Jesus washes the very stain of sin away. We pray that we strive to be better Christians every day. We pray that we do not sin, but we know when we do that we are saved and we are forgiven through his blood. This is the perfect covenant, and we are so thankful for you, our Creator, and your Son, and our Redeemer, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
If you'll go ahead and take the cards that are somewhere, I don't know if they're still in the pews in front of you or if they're around, but if you'll fill them out, pass them to the inside aisle, Coy will pick them up during this song. We're part of the family that's been born again.
The sun.
some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together. Sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven.
At this time, we will close out our online services and have a prayer for our contribution. Will you bow with me? Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for all that you have blessed us with. We know that we have and are nothing without you. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice for us. We pray now, Father, that as we give back, that we will remember that we are giving back to you what already belongs to you, and that we will do so joyfully, Father, and that the monies that have been collected, that they will be used wisely in your kingdom. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.